Arizona. It's Sanderson Ford country. I was recently traveling out of town to a convention where contractors were meeting to study a particular component of construction. And in the lobby, there was a Ford Motor Company display, as well as other manufacturers. And there were dealers from all over the Southwest that were there ready to answer your questions. So I went over there taking a look at a couple of the Ford vehicles, and one of the guys walked over to me. And he said, boy, if you're interested in one of these vehicles, we'd sure like to talk to you. I said, well, I'm from Phoenix. I've got a Ford dealer I really like. He says, well, whoever it is, we can beat them. I said, well, I deal with Sanderson Ford. And he looked me square in the eye, and he said, you're dealing with great people. Now, that was a competitor from another state who wanted my business. And I've got three vehicles on my order list right now. All three of them will be ordered at Sanderson Ford. If you're interested in buying a new vehicle, get to Sanderson Ford on 51st Avenue, south of Glendale, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, open all year long. The number one awarded Ford dealership in all of America is right here in the Phoenix area. I've got three particular vehicles that all require a very specific specification. And I've been told by my man at Sanderson Ford, Rosie, if you want this one by April, you need to order it now. If you want this one, and you want it exactly like this, we can't get it till about June. But if you're looking for a good Ford vehicle or a good certified used vehicle, Sanderson Ford 64 acres is filled with product right now. Get over there and take a look at it. Sanderson Ford. I never, ever send anyone there where they don't call me and say, Rosie, thanks for the tip. I'll never buy anywhere else.
In the 10 o'clock hour, we cover our weekly to-do. You can follow along on our home maintenance calendar, tackle one maintenance item every single Saturday so we can keep on top of, you know, the maintenance that our homes take. And you can sign up digitally at rosieonthehouse.com/app and get the premier edition of the app for $45 a year if you use the Rosie promo code when you sign up. And that'll let you, it'll send you reminders. You can track those, register your maintenance, register your projects, manage your projects. It's a digital way to help maintain your home. And then it's transferable to the next owner so they can immediately have a record of all the maintenance that's been done and have all the reminders set going forward. It's a great tool to help. And we will get to our weekly to-do, which is reducing your water consumption. But the 10 o'clock hour is also the open home hour. And the lines are full. So
let's load it up with calls.
Let's plow through a few real quick, starting off with, I believe it's Robert in Mesa. Welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I just had a quick question about looking to build a house this year, and what's the best way to approach finding a good general?
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough. And it's going to be a big answer. But I will tell you that one of the Rosie Certified remodelers in Chandler, Brad Christensen, BC Renovations, would be the place I would recommend you start. Not many of the Rosie Certified general contractors do homes from scratch, but Brad would be one person worth talking to. The other thing, what are you going to do? Is this a lot you're going to build a one-of-a-kind custom home on, or are you looking for a large builder subdivision and trying to pick which builder to whose neighborhood to buy in?
No, it's a acre lot looking to build a custom home.
Nice.
And have you started the design with a particular architect?
Yes.
Okay. And has he been in Arizona a while?
Yeah, pretty much his whole life.
Okay. Well, he should certainly have a recommendation or two. Go to my website, rosieonthehouse.com, click in the zip code of the property, click in general contractor, BC Renovations will pop up, and you could give Brad a call and visit with him. In your particular part of the valley, we also have Scott Hockley, Hockley Design Build. But Scott primarily likes to do, like me, like Rosie, likes to do remodeling. So, Robert, I hope that helps. If at the point you have two or three candidates that you've narrowed it down to, Robert, I would be happy to meet with you, and I'll do my vetting and searching on them like only we can do here at Rosie on Now, is by checking the competitors, checking their credit references, checking their pay history. You can all check them at the Registrar of Contractors website, azroc.gov. Put in the name, and it'll tell you if they have a history of receiving complaints or not. So narrow it down, give me a call, and I'll help you vet which one of the two or three finalists that I would probably go with if I were building my own home.
And where you could start with that is go to the Registrar of Contractors website, and in the Find a Contractor, you know, look at the custom home license, and the lower the number, the longer that company's been in business.
That's one way to say it.
And that would be where I would get my first handful of companies to start talking to, visit their office, see if they'll provide a list of homes that they've built, that you can go talk to those homeowners, see the projects, you know, talk to them about their experience, and just know nobody's perfect, and building a home is a big project, and you're going to make decisions along the way that you're going to regret later.
There's also...
Because there's so many to make, there's no way to get them 100%, and from the start to the end of the finish, you're going to change your mind about what you want.
And I tell you what, Robert, on our website, rosieonthehouse.com, there's a consumer's guide how to pick a contractor. If you'll run every one of your candidates through that process that's listed on that consumer guide, it's going to do a lot of the screening and the vetting for you. Okay, we've got Richard and a caller, Ray and Fred on hold, but I'm going to ask you guys to hold just a minute. We've got an inquiry here by text about efflorescence. It's the white chalky material that's showing up on a lot of the masonry in Arizona right now, having to do a lot with how wet the monsoon season was this past summer. One of the wettest monsoons. I think Tucson actually set a record at 13 inches of rain this monsoon season. Well, a lot of the masonry material that is built in Arizona comes from aggregate that we mine in the Salt River. Okay, let's track the Salt River. It joins the Gila down around Buckeye, Arlington. It goes due east through Metro Phoenix area, gets to the junction with the Verde River out east of town, heads due east into Saguaro Lake, Canyon Lake, Apache Lake, Roosevelt Lake. At Roosevelt Lake, it forks. Tonto Creek goes due north up to Christopher Creek, and Salt River continues east through the San Carlos Indian Reservation and the Fort Apache Indian Reservation, where it forks into the White and Black River. Just at that fork, there is a huge salt deposit that has been mined for years. The reason the Salt River is called the Salt River is because it is so high in salt content. So when we mine the aggregate and the gravel and the sand for our cement masonry, for the mortar, for the concrete block, we are inherently using material very rich in salt deposits. So we build our concrete block, and we use our super mortar, and we build a block wall. The best wall money can build. And it gets wet, and the water leaches to the outside surface. It carries the salt deposits with it, and it shows up as a white powdery substance on the outside of brick walls and masonry walls and your concrete patio slabs. If it's a vertical surface, you can eliminate it by cleaning it off with a little vinegar and sealing the wall to keep the wall from soaking up moisture. If it's on a patio, you have very little chance of ever controlling it. You're just going to have to live with it unless you completely eliminate any water source, any flower beds, any irrigation lines that are in, about, and around your patio. If you want to eliminate efflorescence, you must eliminate moisture. Okay. With that said, let's see if we can get back to the phones real quick. We've got Ray. Let's bring Ray into the conversation. Good morning, Ray.
Yes. Hello, Rosie. Rosie, I really enjoy your show. I listen to it as much as I can. Very informative information. I have a two-part question here. I have a porcelain double deep sink in the kitchen. Are there different grades of porcelain?
Absolutely. How old is the sink?
Let's see. My mom bought this house in 2003.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm asking this is because it has a lot of, like, from the years, scratches, and the only time that it looks like fairly decent is if I pour bleach and let it sit, you know, with some water. I would like to know if there's something that you can recommend that I can buy, or some company or something that can remedy this, problem with the sink. Excuse me.
Well, Ray, you could actually, I don't have a Rosie certified partner I can recommend. I can tell you that repair to porcelain plumbing fixtures is a temporary fix at best, which sometimes that may be all you're looking for. You could actually Google porcelain repair. There's several companies in town to do it. There's several suppliers that will send you the material to do it yourself if you're so inclined. There was a company, I believe they're still in business, by the name of Fiberglass, Todd's Fiberglass Repair, who operated out in the Mesa Tepe area for years and years and years, and they expanded their services to porcelain repair as well. If I would Google and find out if Todd's pops up, if they do, that'd probably be the first company I would contact.
Yeah, and they are.
Okay.
And they have a showroom as well.
They've been around
since 78.
As long as I've been in business. So give them a ring. I will say this, they're good people. They have a great reputation. But I must say this, they're not Rosie certified, but Rosie doesn't have a certified porcelain refinisher to recommend. Let's see if we can take Fred's question on chimney real quick. Calling from Tucson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sir. I'm ready.
Yes. I have a hand-built house back from the 1960s, and it has a big fireplace in it, and for some reason the fireplace is not letting the smoke go all out the chimney. Some of it's coming back around the front of it. Now, I built the fire further back in the fireplace. I've opened up the draft thing that's underneath, and I went outside when I built fire a couple of days ago, and then when I came back in, the whole house was filled with smoke.
Oh, man. Now, how long have you been in the house, Fred?
Since 1990.
Okay. And is this a new problem? The fireplace has drawn in the past and it has stopped. Something stopped it.
We haven't used it for a while.
Okay.
Now, at one time when I first got there, they said that when the fellow was repatching up the fireplace up on the top, the chimney, that they may have dropped some of the cement down in there, and I don't see a flue, you know, something where you turn your handle and you can open and adjust the air going up through the chimney.
Well, back in the 60s, it may have just been a fixed flue without the operable open and close door to it. But the fact that it's built in the 60s, it's been working, hasn't been used in a couple of years, I would tell you to contact a chimney sweep and have them make sure there hasn't been a nest built in there, or in fact the guys that were up there didn't do a poor job of containing their mortar drops and have created some kind of obstruction. We have a certified chimney sweep up in Maricopa County. You could certainly call Becky at Arizona Chimney Sweep and visit with her and see if she has someone she could recommend to you in Tucson. There are a lot of reasons a fireplace will not draw, but the fact that this was a 1960s home that was drawing for a long time, the inherent design problems that could be part of the problem probably aren't a contributing factor. You haven't used it for a couple of years. There's something new in the flue that's causing this. You need a good chimney sweep, my friend.
And there is the Chimney Safety Institute of America, CSIA.org. You can type in your zip code and find a certified chimney sweep.